What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the podcast. Hello, how are you today? My name is Mitch Corbett, and today I have a great guest. Her name is Joy Morgan. She is at ink.joy.tattoo on Instagram, and she has most recently done some work on myself, my tricep. I got a nice little cute kitty cat clawing down my tricep there, and she is new to the tattoo game. She is a self-tattoo artist, I guess is the word, and she's very... She has a very fun story, a very interesting story, and I really enjoyed talking to her. I enjoy the artwork that she does, and I'm very impressed with the studio that she has at her home. And she's kind of doing it DIY, and I can really appreciate that and really enjoy that aspect of, like, you know, doing it yourself, creating it yourself, and like making the time to follow and chase that passion that she has for artistry and tattoo. And yeah, it's just a great conversation. So let's get to the conversation with Miss Joy Morgan and talk to her about tattoos. Let's get this show on the road. Welcome very much, Joy Morgan, to the podcast. Hello, how are you today? Thanks for being on the podcast, and thank you for doing my tattoo of my little kitty cat on my tricep there.
How's it feeling? Good.
Yeah, it's peeling a little bit, like just dry skin around it, but it should be good to go. I gotta shave my arms later today, so we'll see how that goes. So I want to have you on podcast because, like, we were talking while we were doing my tattoo, that this is kind of a new game for you, being a tattoo artist and everything, and how you kind of want it to be more full time as opposed to like a hobby sort of thing. So, like, basically, you are someone that works in a business oriented background, and you're struggling with your creativity, and you become a tattoo artist. So, kind of take me through that that process of, like, wanting to be a tattoo artist. I know you have a lot of ink on yourself.
Yeah, just a couple tattoos. Yeah, no, I've been wanting to do it since I was a kid, but just never really got into the that whole industry. I grew up in Stratford, so I was always pushed for art, music, and that kind of thing, right? So, but it never really presented itself as an opportunity until I got really bored during COVID, and I had to try to do something. So I just bought a really cheap kit off of Amazon and played around on some fake skin for a while. And when I threw it out to friends and family that I wanted to try this and start out, I had no lack of volunteers, I guess, skin sacrifices. So,
yeah. An odd way of putting it, skin sacrifices. Jesus Christ, are you a witch? boil, toil, and tremor, some shit like this.
I was surprised that people lined up for it. So it was it was overwhelming. So, well,
I think it has to do with something. Well, tattoos are generally, like, the thing about that attracted me to come to you is, like, you're new. I saw some of your designs. They're all very good, and you're also very affordable, which is how I think most artists start out with. Like, I know some of the other tattoos I have with an artist in St. Catharines and Katie Hollywood, who I also had on podcast. When I first went to her, it was like $6 an hour, and now she's up to like $150 an hour. Like, I honestly cannot afford to have her on the podcast or on to do work on me anymore. But, like, I think people, tattoos have become more and more common with a lot of people, and it's like more and more accepted in society. And so when you get to, like, say you're going to do tattoos and you need volunteers, everyone's like, me, I want to look cool. I want to be a piece of art. Let them do me. So, like, were there any hesitations? Like, I mean, because that's a big, like, you had to buy the equipment. You have a whole studio in your house. I mean, it's a lot of money to invest in this sort of, like, side hobby slash career you're going down. So, like, how do you, like, obviously you have a supportive husband. You do a lot of work on him as well. So, like, how difficult or not difficult was it? Like, was it so easy just to, like, do it?
To start the studio, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a bit of convincing with the hubby, for sure. So as soon as he figured out that I needed to install a sink in one of our spare rooms, he was just like, oh, that's a bit much. But, I mean, you get cheap equipment, and, you know, it's cheap equipment to start. But after you make so much money, can afford the better stuff. And getting to this point, it didn't take me long, because I'm just I get something in my head, and I just have to do it, right? So I don't stop until it's done and prepared and ready to go. And I know I still have quite a bit of equipment to purchase, but I mean, when it comes down to like the necessities, like the tattoo gun, the ink, I won't cheap out on stuff like that when I'm tattooing other people, at least. But to get everything set up and going, it was actually a ball. I loved it. I love putting stuff together, and oh, I installed the sink too. So I don't know, things like that come easy to me for like just hands-on stuff. So yeah, getting it all ready was a hoot. So
And like I think the cool thing is that like you're a tinkerer, you dug the try like as that tattoo artist, like I imagine like that sort of mindset helps in being able to try new and different things and like expanding upon like not just being like level, like I'm gonna stay at this level, you're wanting to grow and grow and grow and get better with the job. But like you have like most people who are tattoo artists now apprentice. So and you have all these tattoos from previous artists too. So were you able to reach out to anyone for advice on how to get started? Were they supportive? Like, because it's an interesting world, the tattoo world, from what I've understand.
It is. No, I didn't go the traditional way. So this is all just me researching as much as I could about, how the process works, how what needles to use, what ink to use. It was me watching videos upon videos. Like, the resources online today are incredible. You can basically start from where I did to where a professional is now, right? So I don't consider myself a professional tattoo artist at this point in time, because I feel like, I mean, a year doing part-time stuff is not really, I don't know how to put it, but it feels like it just comes natural. There are certain things, and I think my background, it sounds weird, but I find that being a welder as well really helped with the tattooing. Same type of thing, hand position, depth, how fast you go, things like that. And then as an artist as well, for painting, it feels like you're actually like painting on people. And it's kind of awkward, in because I don't know how other artists will, if they'll take me seriously or not, just starting out the way that I did. I mean, I've spoken to other artists and shop owners and things like that, but still feel a little awkward about it. So I think another couple years doing it like this, and then maybe working my way into a full-time thing, I feel a bit more confident. But it's there's no and Ontario has no regulations for artists either. Like, there was no information I could find. The bare minimum, of course, was the bloodborne pathogen course, and then the second was getting your health and safety from public health, and they don't know really like the ins and outs of it. They just go to the spa over here, the tattoo shop over here, the hairdresser over here. So they're my requirements for public health was to install a sink. So I find it's really vague in Ontario. There's no strict regulations on what you have to do or apprentice or to do anything to be a tattoo artist. So I guess that helps me a little bit, because I can get into it a little bit on my own. But I do think that going into being an apprentice probably would have helped quite a bit as well. But my problem is I work full time, and I'm not willing to give that up quite yet, because I do love the job. And I mean, there's pension and benefits that are included with that too, right? So to just throw all that to the side to do the tattooing is a little kind of scary, right? So
To be young again, eh? I mean,
yeah.
if you were 21, 22, you'd be have gone down the apprentice path and be part of the shop and everything that probably wouldn't have met your husband. Probably, you know what
Right.
I mean? It's interesting how our lives take these certain paths. I mean, like specifically with you, I mean, you mentioned art. So who kind of like were your inspirations growing up as an artist? Like, were you were always drawing, I'd imagine?
Oh yeah, just constant. Actually, my mom, she's a phenomenal artist. She does watercolor paintings. She does that, well, retirement gig, but she did that kind of like the part-time side job too. But
So it
she
runs
took
in the
me in.
family. That's why it comes naturally to you. I see how.
I guess, right? Yeah, my brother too. But my mom took me to pretty well-known watercolor painter in Stratford when I was growing up. It's an adult course, but I guess she was pretty impressed with my brother and I, so she let us stay. We were also well behaved, so that helped. But just to be to have that kind of influence growing up my entire life, it was, I mean, it just felt like a natural path, right? So then I mean, after welding, I continued to do metal work, so that's I mean, I get stuck, something stuck in my head, and I just got to get it out somehow. So,
Yeah, so you're a tattoo artist and you're also a metalwork artist. So I mean, you do like you have some designs in your shop there, and it's kind of cool to see how many avenues you have for like rest and relaxation. Like you have to get it out of your soul to really enjoy and live a happy and healthy life. And you mentioned the pandemic and how it was very hard for you to do the pandemic, and you need something, right? So in that regard, would you say that the pandemic was actually more beneficial to you? Because you it pushed you in that direction of being a tattoo artist.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it was I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way that I do about having to be stuck at home and you know, not going on life as normal. But absolutely, it if it wasn't for that, I don't think that I would have continued in this direction. It might have been a little thought in the back of my head, but it was the push I think that I needed to get out and do something for sure. So there it was, yeah, very beneficial that we were locked down for what, 2 years? So
Yeah,
yeah.
it was a long time. It's
Yeah.
a long, long
Yeah.
time. 2 years in the grand scheme of things may not seem like a lot of time, but when you're on the go constantly and it all of a sudden stops, everyone just kind of lost their goddamn minds.
Yep. For sure.
Now, like you're an artist your entire life, your mother's an artist, your brother's an artist. I mean, what stopped you from getting into it originally? Like, what stopped you from going being 19 and going to a tattoo shop and be like, hey, can I learn how to do this, please, sir? May I have some more that sort of thing? Like, what stopped you from going down that path?
I mean, I think boys and beer and
Boys.
it just, I guess life just took me in a different direction, right? So I had other priorities. I ended up moving out to BC for a couple years and ended up having my son out there. So priorities change really quick after you find out that you're gonna have a baby. So I was 19 when I moved out to BC. So things changed rapidly. And I just never felt like I had the drive anymore to get to that point. I just had to work. I had to take care of my son, right? So,
So when you mean
but
boys, we're gonna blame your son. Okay, I gotcha. This is
yeah,
like,
I'm gonna say
damn you,
that.
son,
Yeah.
for taking mom's dream. I'm kidding. Obviously, being a mother is probably awesome.
Oh, it's nice now. I mean, like he's 18 now, so I have my kind of my life back, I guess. I mean, he's supposed to take care of himself now, so we'll see how that goes.
has he asked you to do any work for him?
Tattooing, yeah, I've given him 3 tattoos so far, so
What's the
any.
family discount like? I wonder.
I think for my husband's birthday last year, I gave him a gift certificate for unlimited tattoos. So,
Aww.
yeah, they get.
He's your practice model, eh?
He is also my worst client. He's gonna hate me for saying this, but it is true. I mean, he's the most picky man that I have ever met in my life.
Please
So,
tell me he cries when you get tattooed. Like, that'd be awesome.
I don't get that satisfaction.
I know, like when you did my piece, I'd like on my tricep here, I didn't realize how much it was gonna hurt, and I was like, you started doing it, and I was like, fuck, this is, I haven't had long time. I forgot how, God. And then you, I was like, can you stop for a second? And you're like, yes. Do you want a stress ball? I'm like, you have stress balls? Awesome. So I'm like just squeezing the shit out of this thing. Like, and I think that's the cool thing is that like you've gotten to do so much research on it, and like you have like when you walk into your studio, it's well lit, clean, and you have all these like cool little knickknacks for like to have alleviate stress and everything. It's you have the cats running around as well. Like when you're like you mentioned how you like to design things, like how to build things. So like, did you have that image of your studio in your house like that, or how many different variations of it were there before you got the final end product?
Oh, I've changed it around as much as I possibly could, and I'm still going to change it, make changes until I'm, the feng shui is where it should be. But I still use it as my office for my day job as well. So it's hard to get rid of like the big desk that's in here. But eventually, I mean, I'll get a smaller one, maybe throw in a different room, and then I can utilize the whole space as the studio. But I don't think I'll be done, getting things arranged the way I want to for a while. But it I'm a I think a little weird because I enjoy, keep changing things until it's just right. And I mean, organization, I can't help it. I have things labeled, and I love my label maker, so
I feel like you had a little bit of OCD, maybe.
yeah, maybe a little bit.
Don't know what it was. Like the other day, I was at work and like our studio was a mess because I work in television. And I was looking around and I'm like, there's no space and this is pissing me off. And I went on like a 30-minute rampage to just cleaning the studio. Everything up. I don't know what. I'm like, I think everyone has a little OCD. I feel like mine's like very, like, but it was like just that one like little click on my brain. I was like, I need to do this now or else it's never going to get done. So, like your welding's a very interesting thing to do because that helps you with your steel work as well. So, how do you like with welding? There's very like it seems like it's very, I don't know what a word is. It's an art form because you have to be so intricate with it and making it good and everything. So, like, how tell me about that process. Tell me about welding a little bit. How enjoyable that is. How you've taken that skill set and made it into an art form as well.
Well, when I went into welding school, I never picked up a welder before. It was one of those things where I thought this would be really cool to do. So I went ahead and started that. School was awesome. I mean, think anything out of high school that you want to do is really cool. But when I worked at a pressure vessel shop for like 7 years, so there's a lot that goes into putting together a pressure vessel, really. So started welding a lot on that, and then I don't know what it was. Maybe I know a friend of mine had a really neat picture in his house when you're walking in the door. It's a piece of aluminum just with some trees on it. It was very cool, and I was looking at it, I'm like, oh my God, I could do that. And it's just a grinder and a piece of steel. So picked up my grinder and started messing around with it. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. I like this. So I started doing that while I was still working at the pressure vessel shop, and just elaborated from there. And it turned out to be a pretty cool little side gig as well. Went to art shows and sold work, did a lot of commission pieces. But when COVID hit, that kind of threw everything out the window for the metalwork. I mean, sure, you can try to sell it online and stuff like that, but the pieces that I do, it's one of those things you gotta stand in front of it. It's just the way light hits it at certain points, right? So it's hard to describe.
Yeah, go ahead.
And now I was just gonna say it's usually catches people's attention because it's shiny too. So,
Shiny objects, they always get a man's
yeah.
attention. So like you mentioned how like you're taking these metalworks off to like a marketplaces and selling them. Is that part of like the enjoyment you get from art is like not necessarily selling it, because I think I don't feel like you're a salesman per se, but is it like meeting people and hearing their stories and interacting with people that kind of drove you to being a tattoo artist? Because you get to hear like a lot of interesting, great stories that sometimes you put the story on their bodies, you know?
Yeah, it's well, when it comes to tattooing, a lot of people want memorial and dedication tattoos, things like that. And you hear about stuff that goes on. I mean, like just yesterday, it was a friend of mine from high school came in for a piece of work, and it was quite sad because it was his sister that passed away. And knowing her and all that stuff, it kind of makes me sad while I'm tattooing things like that, especially when somebody's saying, yeah, this is why I want this. It's just, it really hits you right in the feels. So
And how do you like as because like as a tattoo artist, you're also kind of a therapist. I've heard your stories before. Like, no, it's like when you're in an art form,
oh,
right?
that's right, yeah.
You're hearing the stories. You are it's kind of like a hairstylist, right? Too. You hear like it's an art form in the sense that like you're creating something new for someone while they're sharing their story. And like hairstyling, tattoo artists, I think there's a good you can approach that as like, oh, it's also a little bit therapy too, right?
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people use tattooing, getting tattooed as therapy as well. And while they're doing that, it's really open. I mean, it's kind of an intimate situation. Like I'm breaking your skin and putting ink inside of you.
Sounds so dirty when you say it.
Oh, trust me.
Go
If you're a welder, that it doesn't matter what you say. There's always some innuendo that goes along with it. So, yeah, it is though. Like it's a very it's an intimate kind of thing because you're hurting somebody because they want it. But I've heard a lot of stories of people open up really, really quick when you start going through tattooing, and it's just like, oh, that's pretty cool actually. Like I love my clients. I love the people that I've tattooed. They have been so supportive, like especially being kind of going about it a little bit different than most people, right? So it's so cool having the clientele that I do. Yeah, small community too, right? So it's a little more you find out, oh, this person knows this person, so, and this is the other person that came in the other day. Like it's just like, oh wow, okay, so everyone's pretty connected, right? So, but that's small town kind of thing too, right? So
Now, like in terms of being an artist and creating designs, like you have your patchwork, I think it's called the what was it, flash sale?
oh, the flash, yeah, the flash day, yeah.
Those are all ones that you've made, sort of thing. But what's like the? I mean, you're still fairly new to it, so the more you do it, the more you're gonna get people asking for like weirder and weirder shit, I imagine. So, like, are you prepared for that? Weird.
Yeah, oh yeah, bring it on. No, it's kind of funny though, is that sometimes I'll nail a design, and then sometimes I send something out and someone's like, no, that's like not what I had in my head. It's so hard to just get inside someone's head and pull out exactly what they're looking for, right? So I try, and I mean, I have no issue going back over and over and over to do these designs because it's on your body forever. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be. There's the whole tattoo removal thing now, right? But for the most part, you get that on you. I want to make sure you're happy with it. I want people just to be like, yeah, I love this piece. Like I have artwork on my body that I have had my tattoo artist do a long time ago, and I love it. Like there's nothing different that I'd want on my arm, and I want people to have that same sense 10 years later too. So it's cool. It is really cool.
So like tattoos were always a thing that you were into. Like what do you have on your body that you're like most proud of?
Well, the my one arm, I have two koi fish. More of a Japanese thing. I love Japanese style stuff. If
Yeah,
you didn't notice when
cherry
you're,
blossom in the studio, and first thing I was like, my wife loves cherry blossoms, so.
So this is it, but I did a lot of research before I got the tattoo, because the koi represent different aspects of your life. So different color, the orientation that they're swimming, that type of thing. It means something different. So that's why I got what I did, and it's pretty. I will never regret getting that tattoo for sure. I think that would be my pride. And the girl that did it was a phenomenal artist. So she took what I wanted and she threw it there, and I'm just like, that is perfect. Like it's so cool to see what somebody else can do and kind of rearrange your idea and make it better, you know?
Have you had the thought to make maybe reaching out to that artist and like reconnecting now that you're an artist yourself?
Yeah, maybe. It's a little like I said, I don't know if other artists would respect what I'm doing or if they would condemn me for what I'm doing. I know it's a very it's an awkward kind of situation I find. So
Well, I think that it's like I think we're kind of going down the path of everyone kind of realizing that, you like there are these systematic failures that a system has in terms of like how things happen. Like I know in comedy specifically, there's certain things that you have to do it this way, or it's like, but the more and more the people that find their own independence and do it their own way and are find success by doing it their own way, that kind of like systematic whatever tree means nothing. As long as you're successful and you're good at it and you're being safe with it, I don't think there's now they might come at you with like a little differently, but like yeah, I think as an artist that you want to align with other artists because that makes your art better. That's why I've learned just like the more you can
No,
communicate and
absolutely.
interact with other artists, you're gonna get better and better, and you're gonna make some awesome friendships down the line. So
Oh, for sure. And I know that there's a lot of support. Like, I know there's a lot more people doing it more and more, the self-taught kind of thing. I mean, some people shouldn't, but or some people should just, take their time, practice until they're blue in the face on fake skin kind of thing. But I know it's more and more lately. But some people just have that ability. They have that ta natural talent, right? Just to go and do it. I've heard a lot of horror stories with apprenticeships as well, like pretty nasty stories about doing that, and having to pay somebody to go through something like that is that
yeah,
turned me
and
off.
like they're taking like you're a grown-ass adult, you have a family, you have kids, you have bills to pay, like you there's a different, you don't need to, you like you're somewhere like in life where like, oh, I don't need someone to tell me I'm a piece of shit based off of like an art piece of art that
I think that's what it
like,
is.
what is like, I do know I'm an adult, right? Like this is the way you communicate to other adults. So like anytime there's an apprentice like a level of apprentice E, like you're gonna hear some horror stories. Like, I mean, specifically, like I interned, which I guess is an apprentice at the Score Sports Network a long time ago, and I got fucked over by someone else who was a producer by just lack of communication. I was like, oh well, of course I'm the one that gets pinched for it and everything, even though there was nothing wrong with it. It was just like, yeah, art is a very strange and chaotic world.
It certainly is. And it's weird having people ask me if I would take on an apprentice. I'm sitting here like, are you serious? Like, I'm just
Time. I can't someone have that kind of thing.
if I could squeeze someone else in the studio, maybe, but
Not
Yeah,
today, not
so
anytime soon, I imagine.
yeah. Oh no, God, my goodness, no. No, it's yeah, art is a very it's so I can't even describe it. Like there's you can do anything. Artwork is everywhere. And
What
people
was
don't
it?
get
What was it like your first client? when you had the studio all set up? Like how nerve-wracking was it? How rewarding was it? Like I imagine it was probably just like a lot of fear, but in a lot of angst, and then naturally just like, holy shit, I've earned my beer today.
My first client that I did not know personally, who paid me for a tattoo. They knew that it was new, and they didn't care because, well, it's two. They got matching tattoos, and they didn't care because I was cheap. So, but even after that, like they've spread my name around quite a bit, and the girl that was in, she's come back and she's getting sleeves. She's getting so much work done. So I'm just like, I can't. It's fulfilling. I mean, I have increased the prices since then, but she's still coming back and paying for it. But yeah, it's really neat. I have a lot of returning clients too. Maybe because my prices are pretty
I mean,
low.
like that's not to knock, right? I mean, you're a good artist, you're a good tattoo artist. Like you've done some really nice work. You are very affordable, maybe too affordable, like you said. But in a day and age where everything else has, the price of everything has gone so astronomically high, and the pandemic has fucked everything up. People are going to appreciate the fact that you're like, oh no, like I'm still new at this, I'm still good at it, but like I'm going to give you a discount because like I'm new at it, like. That goes a long way, and that is how you build that reputation that grows. And then eventually you get to meet someone who says, hey, you should be charging this much, or X, or, like, it's a growth thing, it's not, don't sell yourself short,
No, that's true. That's very true. I want to be more affordable just because I can be. I'm learning. It's appreciated more than anything that I can tattoo somebody. They're comfortable with me doing it. It's fantastic just to have that that clientele coming in and spreading the word that, yeah, she's affordable, she's good, I don't think I'll raise my prices too high, but on the
In
same
million
token,
dollars.
I don't want to sell myself short either, right? So that's
You seem to be like pretty smart. Like you're a savvy businesswoman. You've done a lot of few things, so I think you'll know when it's time to like the appropriate time to do that sort of thing.
I
Like,
suck at business, man.
all right, never mind then. Maybe you stay the same, never change, never grow. But I'm like just looking at your Instagram page right now. It's like you have been doing some really cool stuff. Is there like a favorite piece that you have, or that you one that you like really remember working on? Because some of
There's a
the images are cool.
I think there's a cardinal in there that I'm pretty proud of. Yeah, that's that wasn't too long ago. Just the style. I love that style of tattooing, but
And you seem to be really into like doing a lot of color schemes. Is that
I love color. Yeah,
talk to
I
me about
love
your
color.
color, because I only have black and white tattoos, so.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think it's just it's like painting. Being able to throw it out there and do it as I see it should be done, kind of thing, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the black and gray, and that's really cool. But when I get to start coloring, I mean, people hate it because it's usually a lot more needles and a lot more irritation.
So what the stress ball is for?
That's right. But it I doing that, like a good friend of mine, I've been tattooing her for quite a bit now, and she's got an enormous thigh piece of a Maleficent, I think it's what it's called. I'm not sure of the show, but the dragon from that, with a bunch of flowers and stuff around there, and she's just like full color, and I'm like, awesome, this is gonna be great. So one more session of that and we should be good. But yeah, I mean, I keep buying colored ink because I just like, oh, I like that color. I hope I can use that color at some point in time. So yeah, I got a good collection. I love color on myself too. So that's I know I still have some more work to do on myself, but
Is that like a whole, is that like a mental thing as well? I have more work to do myself as well. Or do you mean, like, I think everyone has some work to do on themselves. specifically, so I don't think you have to worry too much about that.
Oh God, I know.
Yeah.
The problem
Joy, before we wrap up here, how can people reach out to you for a tattoo appointment? How can people see your work? What's all your stuff so they can check you out?
stuff's so Facebook, it's Ink Joy Tattoos with an S. There is another Ink Joy Tattoo in France, I believe. So just what's that?
How dare they?
It's how dare me. I think that I came in after, but and then on Instagram is Ink Joy Tattoo, and there's booking buttons on Instagram. I have an automatic booking system, so you can basically book yourself in for consultation, and for the tattoo. So, either that or they can. People can also text me or give me a shout.
Maybe we
I'm not.
not release your phone number on
Let's
the
not do that. Yeah, I was just to say it's awkward. Or inkjoytattoo@outlook.com.
Yeah, I highly recommend checking Joy on Instagram. It's ink.joy.tattoo on Instagram. And you just scroll through her page and see so many cool things. Fucking skeletons, feet, dragons, hands, dinosaurs, all that fun stuff.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Mitch. It's been fun, and hopefully you get some more work done. So
I gotta try and convince my wife to come down, but she hates paint, so we'll see what happens. I know she wants one, especially since I got the cat one. But yeah, she does not like paint. I'd have to have her sedate or something like that to bring her
numbing
to
cream. Try some numbing cream. There you go.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really enjoy your story. I think it's very cool that you're chasing your dreams now, and can't wait to come get another tattoo by it from you.
Awesome. Thanks, Mitch.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Joy. Again, you can find her at ink.joy.tattoo. Check out her Instagram page. She posts all of her artwork on there. All her flash sales are on there. And if you're looking to get an affordable, fun tattoo and check out her cool studio in her house, just shoot her a message and she'll oblige. I'm sure as the years go on, she's gonna get a lot busier. But now's the time. I mean, it is Christmas season. Why not treat someone you love to a tattoo, right? So, thank you all for listening. I've really been enjoying this podcast. We got some more great guests coming up, guys. It's sporadic, but like, it's just, I love having conversations with people. So I appreciate you guys listening to the ones that do and to the ones that don't. Well, I guess you won't hear this, but whatever. Anyways, thanks so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys down the line. Cheers.